Hello and welcome to episode 454 of Awards Daily TV's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Moser, and I'm joined by one of the two M's, M. Let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and they can find you on the internet. I guess.
Hi.
You. Go.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
And like I just said, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83. Clarence is either out in England trying to seduce King James or evading the authorities in a stark, austere, black and white Italian palazzo. Or maybe he's just attending a screening of Alex Garland's Civil War and he could not be with us.
Or maybe he's just partying up about the eclipse. He's just still reeling.
I know. He actually stared at it and that put him into a trance and all he's doing is just like running around the streets of North Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah. So we may be talking about those topics next week. I was like, maybe let's allude to what we're talking about next week. And I was like, we haven't really confirmed what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we are talking about all those things next week.
Yeah. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm here. That's the response I've been telling people all day because I was in not a shitty mood when I got to work, but it was just like, it's work, and it is the Monday, and I realized I was supposed to be at work at 10:30, and I realized at 10:30 that it was 10:30 and not 10:45, so I had to rush out of the house. I locked myself out of the house, so then I had to go through the garage, call an Uber, go to the front of the house, and go to work.
Wow.
And then the eclipse happened. Did you, you watch the eclipse, yes?
So I saw part of it through my mom gave me glasses and I watched it through a window in my house and that was it. Nice. And I saw a little bit of it, saw it, and then it's like, okay, I did it.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been feeling well today because I had I woke up with a splitting headache around 4 o'clock in the morning. And then my dog woke up at 5 a.m. barking at me because he was sick. And so I have had no sleep. So I felt off all day.
So Megan is exhausted.
Yeah, I'm like, this damn eclipse. Everybody's freaking out about it, but I'm just like, I mean, it's cool. It's really cool. I think everybody rushing and causing chaos on the road is kind of scary to me.
I had some questions because I was at work, and I work for, I guess people who don't know, I work at a public market. Like I work in the office. So I basically, like we, the office, you know, opens and closes the market and stuff. And a bunch of merchants closed their business. Like I think like 6 or 7 of them were closed because they were having outings with their staff to like hang out and go see the eclipse. So, but then I realized I was like, it's almost 3 o'clock. I should probably go downstairs and, you know, check how everything's going. It was, the market was like empty. It was really creepy. It was kind of weird. And so then I got my glasses and I went outside and a whole bunch of the other merchants were standing outside, you know, at the picnic tables waiting for, you know, as much totality as we could wait for. And I thought it was kind of funny, but then I was standing on a street corner, because that was like the best view, I thought. And I was terrified that my glasses were going to get blown off my face. And I would look at the eclipse and I would get blinded. And then this businessman, because I was standing on a corner, I saw him sort of out of the corner of my eye as I was taking my glasses off. And he was looking around. And there are two construction workers also with glasses. And then he like turned around and saw all the merchants standing there. And then he like looked at me and he goes, "What's going on?" It's like, the eclipse. And he was he's like, "Oh, there's an eclipse." And I was like, oh wow.
God, really?
Okay. Yeah. And I was like, there's an eclipse. Google it. And I just walked away.
Was it like Jared Leto coming out of that like hive during, or that cave during COVID and being like, "What's going on?" That's what I picked.
Pretty much. He did have long hair. So it might've just been Jared Leto. Maybe. Who knows?
I love if he was in like, maybe he was in a coma and he was like, "Oh my God, I'm out and there's an eclipse."
He only goes into coma before big worldwide events.
Yes.
And then he magically wakes back up. Anyway, so this week at the water cooler, Meg and I are going to briefly talk about our reaction to Investigation Discovery's Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, the now five-part documentary series that exposes the shocking allegations behind a lot of Nickelodeon shows created and directed and written by, I guess, TV, children's TV juggernaut, Wunderkind, former Wunderkind, Dan Schneider. So we're going to talk about our reactions to the show and how we feel about this latest episode. And we will end our podcast, as always, with the flash forward to the media that we are most anticipating in the upcoming week. So Megan, I would say you are the awards daily doc queen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But it feels like this particular series caught on really fast. I thought I saw on like every single social media platform about people, you know, barreling through this series. So I guess I wanted to know your reaction first, and then maybe you can talk a little bit about why you think this caught on more so than some other things.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first four episodes of the documentary. We could talk about the fifth episode, but mm-hmm. I think that there's some really powerful stuff going on here, especially with the interview with Drake Bell. Yeah. I did read a really interesting article today, though, in Vulture. I think it was in Vulture about how how the documentary could have gone deeper on things, even concerning Drake Bell and his transgressions. Mm-hmm. But I also think that's like almost a different story. But I see what they say about it. But I think it caught on because so many people grew up with these shows. And, you know, even like I was watching it and I remembered Katrina Johnson. I think that was her name. And she was like right before Amanda Bynes. And she used to do like similar impressions and kind of looked like, as soon as I saw her, I remembered her. I'm like, oh my God, I remember her. And then I remember like she did just disappear. And it's so upsetting. I think it's hitting a lot because of so many millennials growing up with this show or these shows and all these things that were happening behind the scenes that we didn't know about, even though it was kind of right in front of us too, like, lots of things that we didn't notice because we were kids. And also, I do think I think it's only been recently that we could stream these shows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably part of the problem too, is that it didn't have that like rerun quality to it until recently, where now it's like, oh, we can go back and watch these things.
Yeah.
It wasn't like readily available, I want to say, until the last maybe 5 years or so. I could be wrong, but I feel like it's not like it's on, you know, Netflix is the one that usually is like, oh, things will take off from there. But, and this was on ID Investigative Discovery, but through Max. So, but other shows, like I was thinking about, like, I think that like, if you want to watch the Amanda show, I think it's on Paramount Plus and not everybody has Paramount Plus. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like that's an issue too, that we have forgotten these things because we're not watching it on the big networks anymore. So
yeah.
What did you think?
So I watched the whole thing like in one sitting, the first four episodes, at least. I was just sort of transfixed by it. And I was honestly a little skeptical going in because I saw, not skeptical of like the content, but I knew that Investigation Discovery did, you know, a couple of other documentary series. Like they did that horrible looking, I never watched it, but they did the horrible looking The Price of Glee, which was supposed to be like, I read about how, I mean, that came out, I think, last year, and that was really ripped apart by the people that were involved in it. Like, they got some really sort of sketchy people involved in it. I'm saying that as I've never watched it, but that's what I've heard. It just sounded a little like a trashy, not cash grab, but it seemed like a little opportunistic.
Yeah.
So I think that was in the back of my mind when I started it. And I do think that it takes a little bit of a rocky start to get in. But I think by episode two, it's really sort of like, I knew I was just going to watch it in one sitting, especially when you hear, you know, you're starting to get these, you know, testimony from, you know, the two female writers, the only two female writers who have to share a salary. And
right.
I remember Katrina Johnson from, wasn't she the one who did Ross Perot?
That's what I thought. Yes, she did Ross Perot.
She did Ross Perot.
She was good, too. She was a really good little actress.
Yeah, she was. And it was sort of like, I thought, I very rarely think something could be longer, but I feel like I could watch more of this just because of the amount of, you know, now adult actors that are that were involved and things like that. I feel like I don't know, it was just very compelling to me. I was worried because this, a lot of the shows that they talk about on the show were like a little past when I stopped watching Nickelodeon. Like, I remember the Amanda Show, and I remember what a sort of crazy star Amanda Bynes was. And I wish they would have been able to get her to talk about, you know, her experience. I don't know if she's allowed. I don't know if she's legally allowed. She probably doesn't want to.
Right.
And then, I mean, if you, this show really led me down, like, some, like, really crazy rabbit holes of, you know, just, like, doom scrolling and, like, theories. And I try not to read into theories about why certain things happen. Like, I don't need a TikTok sleuth who's, like, 15 years old to tell me what they thought of what happened to Amanda Bynes. But no, I think it's really compelling. I think that Drake, the episode that focuses mostly or entirely on Drake Bell, that ripped my heart out. And it's sort of something that I think is really, it's been brought up a couple of times. Like, you don't know what someone is going through, so you really shouldn't. You know, he became sort of like gossip fodder for all the shit that he, you know, he had a couple of DUIs. He had some problems with substance abuse. Maybe continue. I don't know. Problems
and messaging, teens and inappropriate relationships. Yeah.
I was just like, okay, that, I mean, that was all really, I think, really hard to watch. But I'm glad that he was able to tell his story. I guess we can talk about this going into the new episode. I think it was you that I was talking to on the phone. You're like, because we were going to talk about this, I think, last week on the podcast. But then Megan had said, oh, no, there's another episode. I was like, why is there another episode? It sort of, episode four kind of wraps a lot of, not doesn't wrap it up, because there's obviously a lot of questions, a lot of, you know, maybe potential allegations and stuff. Do you want to talk about the new episode? It just dropped yesterday.
The new episode is Breaking the Silence, I believe, right? That's what it's called. And it's Soledad O'Brien is interviewing Drake Bell.
I was so excited to see her.
I know. I love Soledad O'Brien. I felt like it was more of a, how do I say this? Like a victory lap type of thing. Like, look what we've done. Let's bring these back. Let's ride this high of the popularity of the show almost. And I mean, that sounds probably terrible, but I felt like in some ways it was an unnecessary episode. Nothing new was brought to light the thing I found interesting was Drake Bell talking about getting to open up. Like Tai talked about talking to Emma Schwartz and Mary Robertson, who I have an interview I talked to them last week about the show, but him talking about how easy they made him feel, like, you know, to open up. And I thought that was really important because I think that is probably the best part about this documentary is the way they've gotten these people to open up. Like, I know, like I said, Vulture had those critiques of different things, but then I'm like, if you go down the rabbit hole of like interviewing experts, then that takes away from the story, I think, a little bit. So I get what they're saying, but I also think that like keeping it focused on what these kids went through is important. But I thought that was really interesting that he singled out like how they made him feel and how easy it was to talk to them. And I think even the other actors did too. But I thought it was like it just kind of rehashed things that I didn't necessarily rehash them without, like, kind of dropping hints at it, more interesting topics, but not really, like, going there because it's the last episode. I felt like it was, I hate to say this, kind of unnecessary, but maybe it was kind of a, but it also felt like a Nick News special edition type of, like, remember, like, Linda Ellerbe used to always have, like, special episode, like, it was kind of like that. So maybe it was a throwback to Nickelodeon and when they would have special, like, I think right after 9/11, I think Linda Ellerbe was like, let's talk to the kids about Lisa, or anything that was tragic that would happen. She would do that. But
yeah,
what did you think of it?
I sort of didn't, going into it, I didn't know. I was like, why are they doing this? Like, it's, I was excited to see Soledad O'Brien, but, and also I'm really glad that, you know, it gave more room to hear Giovanni Samuels and Brian Hearn, you know, all that cast members. I like how they put their reaction to Dan Schneider's apology in there, because I feel like that's a reminder of, like, okay, we did this documentary series, they participated, and obviously he's going to respond to it. But I like that that is in there, because it's sort of just like, no, you said your thing, but also we're going to make sure that we're going to stay on your ass because we think you're a dick and you did some really shitty things. Also just like asking their feelings about feeling tokenized, and I thought that was really great to have in there. But also that, I thought that story when Raquel Lee, I'm forgetting her last name. Oh, fuck. Raquel Lee Blau. She talks about when she was on the show and they kept having to do a bit where they were spitting in her face.
Yeah.
That is horrible when they tell her she's a star. Don't right. accept the star. And I, when they cut over to Brian and his mom just like, that's racism.
Yeah. See, I thought almost that could have been a whole, like, I felt like they could have gone more into that, because I'm sure there are more stories of that. And I mean, I guess they, if you can't get everybody to talk, but that was interesting, that tokenism, and fascinating to think that, like, that they would always look for the Black people in the room, and there was only the two of them. And I thought that, you know, I've heard other people of color say that, and I thought, oh, that's hard to hear. I also wonder if I would love, personally, I would have loved to find out how other, if the repercussions from what happened on that, how they kind of went out, like, two different other shows, kids shows, like Nickelodeon isn't the only kids network. So I was kind of wondering, like, how, if other people who worked in that realm, I don't know, this is just speculating, but, like, how the repercussions of what happened in those shows maybe, like, reverberated. And maybe they did. I mean, there had to be something where people were like, oh, I worked for Dan Schneider and I don't want to run things this way or something. I don't know. I just wondered about more about, like, what if there were repercussions or were reverberations. There weren't repercussions, obviously. If there were kind of, like, things that were happening around them that, you know, because of what happened on that, in Nickelodeon. Because Nickelodeon, like I said, is not the only game in town, even though it was for a little bit. But now, how are other people doing better from, you know, other shows doing better because of what they've seen gone down? I don't know. That was just something I thought of.
I think it would actually be interesting if, I understand why they would want to do another episode, considering the success and the buzz of this 4-part series. I would say it's actually really impressive that they were able to put together another episode so fast.
Yeah.
And get it out, what, like 3 weeks after that happened. I wonder if they, I wonder if they, Jason just poked his head through the fucking door and scared the shit out of me. I wonder, how long are you standing there?
30 seconds.
Oh my god. Sorry. I wonder if they do, I kind of want almost them to be like another episode, not so quickly, but in the next 6 months to maybe talk about like, this is what was reported. These are the other networks that deal with a lot of kid heavy content, like a Disney Channel, like a Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
I kind of would like there to be another episode to be like exploring how other networks are reacting and committing to making sure that something like this doesn't happen again. I thought that might be interesting.
Yeah. Because that's a good point about Disney. Like, because that was kind of the only, Disney was the one that you paid for of the, mm-hmm. you know, of the time period. Because I remember we had Disney for a little bit and I was like, oh, this is amazing. I loved Disney.
I was like, I feel so rich. I have the Disney Channel.
I'm watching all of these things like Kids Incorporated and, you know, I think Mickey Mouse Club.
I remember going, I'm being a little elitist faggot being like, oh, we have the Disney Channel.
Yeah, I loved it. But I wonder if like, you know, I don't know. I wonder what it was like over there, I guess. I wonder, I mean, clearly we're seeing what's happened to people like Britney Spears, but she was a different kind of story maybe she's similar to Amanda Bynes. There's a lot of stories you could explore in this. And I think what's really interesting is that, and I said this to Emma and Mary, is that, you know, all of this was out there. They're compiling all this together in their investigation, but like all of this was like Brian Peck, this wasn't news, you know, like this was, you know, it hit the news. So it's out there available to, you know, to know these things. It's the fact that it's all, you know, hidden. And I also wonder like why, I want to know why they protected him. Like, why was he protected? Why was he able to come back in? Like, I think that's a question that I have that, that big question of why would you let somebody back in like that?
The something that I actually, with the Drake Bell stuff, something that I'm actually really glad they addressed, because I thought of it too when I watched the original four episodes. Sorry, I'm yawning. I thought it was interesting that the only person who really, well, the person who leapt to Drake Bell's defense was Dan Schneider. Was so surprising to me. And I'm glad that Soledad O'Brien brought that up because I think that's something that's interesting to acknowledge. But I mean, there's that leads to other questions about how he treated women and misogyny. And I don't know, there's a lot there to unpack. But also it just made me like, I remember when Amanda Bynes was going through all of that crap. She's been out of the public eye for so long, but I remember like she was everywhere, and she like, I remember she was in movies, she was in Hairspray, she was in Easy A, she was, I don't know what, She's the Man. She was, you know, What a Girl Wants, like all this stuff. And then like it all, Sydney White, Jesus, I forgot all about Sydney White.
She was great. And wasn't she in Saved too? No, she was in Easy A.
Easy A. Yeah. She was, there's a whole thing that I will actually, if I ever see a pop up on YouTube, whenever she's like sharpening pencils and Emma Stone is just like, oh, you're sharpening up those pencils, getting them real sharp. She was basically like a high school version of Anita Bryant. That's what I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
About her.
She was great in that.
She was great. Yeah. And it was just like, I remember how easy of a punchline she was when she was going through some obviously horribly triggering mental problems. And it's sort of just like, wow, we don't talk about mental health the same way that we did. But I mean, we didn't talk about mental health back then. That was like 2012, 2013, I think. And I'm glad we've come a long way, but it made me feel really bad. It was like, there are people who sort of fell through the cracks because we openly and constantly ridiculed them.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Yeah. Just a little thought there. A little thought bubble.
Yeah. So do you think, what do you think the Emmy chances are for this show?
This is such a buzzy show. I could see it getting in for, I mean, I don't think the show is perfect. I think it has, I sort of didn't like, this is just my personal preference, I didn't necessarily like the, for some reason, the way that they sat at desks bothered me at first. I don't know why that bugged me, but it did. But I think the doc does a really great job of having these writers come in, or these, you know, culture people like Saatchi Cool. I'm blanking on other people's names.
Kate Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they do a really good job of sort of orienting us, and then they really make way for the other people to tell their story. I think that's a really smart thing to do. I think it's a really easy documentary to latch onto, so I could totally see it getting in for documentary series if, you know, people keep talking about it.
Yeah, especially since, like, I think it's what I, like I said, the thing that really does well is getting these people to open up, and that's part of investigative journalism. I mean, I always go back to Spotlight, the movie Spotlight, and how what got Rachel McAdams in for Best Supporting Actress was how people said she was so good at listening like a journalist, which I thought was so interesting. And I know you and I loved her in that movie. And I think that's really, that is, to be a good journalist is to be a good listener and to get people to open up. And I think that is really, should be, that should be rewarded or high recognized.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what they did. And also the fact that they're causing this huge, like, you know, shaking things up in the industry. The fact that, like, I don't know, this is, well, I'm like revealing things from my interview, but that there's no legislation
teasing.
In California. Yeah, teasing. There's no legislation in California that you can keep a sex offender, like, out of working in entertainment with kids.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So it's just like, so they're like, now they're trying to, like, seek that. So this is definitely something that's getting people talking and causing, possibly shaking things up in real world. And I think that is something that should be recognized.
There's it's sort of crazy to me that it's when they talk about Brian Peck and they just when they introduce him and they talk about his character Pickle Man,
yes,
whatever,
or pickle boy,
Pickle Boy. It's also just like that is so it's so off. It's because I'm an adult who is wary of creepy people. Your first reaction is like, what the fuck is this motherfucker? Who is this bitch? And it's just like them talking about who his character is and who he is within the realm of the show. I find it so strange. And I was just like, why was an adult like, hey, this is fucking weird. This
right.
is weird, guys.
Especially and, with the scene where it looks like a glory hole.
Oh my God.
With Ray Romano.
Yeah. Also, like, I had forgotten like how much like famous people did stuff like little cameos at Nickelodeon. That freaked me out. Like that and that, like everything. This is later when I was watching kids TV, but like everything with Ariana Grande. Everything.
Yes.
It's all fucking creepy.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Get this potato.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my Ariana Grande impression.
That's I was thinking of too. Like, oh man.
It's like, God. All right, guys. You guys are freaking nuts. Okay. Is there anything you would like to add about White on Set?
I think everybody should watch it though if they haven't, because it's the Drake Bell stuff is really powerful and made me think of Leaving Neverland and how powerful that documentary was. And so I think it's something that people should definitely seek out, even though it's you know, hard to watch.
We don't get we very rarely get such the thing that I will compliment the director, if they want to listen to this podcast, you can tell that they give such space to
yes.
everyone. I can tell, I was like, I know like even just with the interviews, I was like, I bet there's hours upon hours of footage that they had to, they probably killed themselves over editing.
Right.
But like you can tell that the space that they give Drake Bell or anybody who felt uncomfortable on set, like any of the young black actors, that they you can tell that the director did a really good job of making everyone comfortable.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to the flash forward of the media we're most anticipating in this upcoming week. Megan.
Okay, what am I looking forward to? Shogun. I'm still watching Shogun. Drag Race is the reunion, I think. I still need to catch up on some other things. I'm trying to think of anything else. I listened to Doja Cat's new album that I like. That's about it. I guess it's kind of a quiet week. I'm trying to I want to see Civil War really bad. Yes. That's the other thing. Yeah.
Terrified to see Civil War.
Yeah. And so that's it.
I'm waiting for Clarence to ping me. Like, tell me what you love Civil War. okay. I'm going to DC this week. Gonna get on a plane. My favorite fucking thing in the world.
You know, do you fly first class? Can you drink?
We sometimes fly first class because Jason is too tall to really fit in a normal seat. He's too tall.
And then you go first class, like that song.
No, you've never flown with me. I am such an unbelievable basket case. Like I'm sort of a mixture of Kristen Wiig from Bridesmaids mixed with Marge Simpson. Let me off. I can't relax on a plane. I think every movement means the plane is going to crash. So sometimes the flight attendant will liquor me up. It's gotten to the point where I think now every single time I've been on the plane in the last year and a half, someone has told me, "You seem really nervous." Like a stranger, a complete stranger, will be like, "You seem really nervous." I'm much more comfortable when Jason's with me because Jason, I basically am too afraid I'm going to embarrass him. But if the plane does go down, the first thing I will turn to him and say, the first thing I will say, I will turn to him and be like, "I told you, I just want to be right."
Oh my God.
So I'm going to DC. I was telling Megan before we started recording, I kind of want to see Civil War in DC and be even more terrified because the trailer gives me such anxiety. Election year.
I want to go into it knowing nothing too. I really don't know
too. Much about it. I don't really know much either. I saw both of the trailers, but I don't really know who any of the characters are. Took me even a while to realize that person was Kaylee Spaney. Did not even realize that was her.
I know.
So I want to see that. I'm catching up on The New Look, which is a show. And I want to catch up on the new season of Loot. I haven't started it yet. And I just got screeners to the limited series Under the Bridge with Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. So I'm excited to jump into that. So I'm talking to the creators, I think, early next week.
I'm excited for that one, too.
I am waiting. I'm going to see it, how long it takes for the first time for me to see it. And I guarantee you this will happen. Someone's going to be like, this is what I wanted Night Country to be. Someone is going to say that. They're going to say it. Just waiting.
Okay, when that happens, everybody forward it to Joey.
Yeah, forward it to me. And then I'll have a nervous breakdown on a plane. Okay. Does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. New episodes of the Water Cooler Podcast drop every week here at Awards Daily. Please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel to make sure you don't miss any of the upcoming, glut of Emmy interviews coming your way here soon. It's coming. The Emmy voting window ends at the end of May. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at Awards Daily TV. And we wish you a very pleasant tomorrow.